his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. He loved me ere I knew him.
then sweeping up to the glory to see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
This morning, to the day was past and gone. Satan tried to tell me that victory would not come. I just went into my secret place, called upon sweet Calvary's Lamb. My soul was filled with glory when I remembered who I am. And I'm an heir of God, an heir to Christ, through royal blood set free. I am more than just a conqueror. I am one of the redeemed. And I am the royal priesthood. I'm a stranger to this land. How heaven fills this soul of mine when I remember who I am. The world has tried to tell me that my hope, it's all in vain. But they don't know the power that I have through Jesus' name. My soul, it has been redeemed. The price was paid on Calvary's land. My soul was filled with glory when I remember just who I am. stranger to this land. How heaven fills this soul of mine when I remember who I am. How heaven fills this soul of mine when I remember just who I am. For causing the sun to shine, putting the clouds in the sky, for the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue, thank you, Lord. Out below, the rain and the snow, well, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, making me whole. Well, thank you, Lord, for my home and family, for all the joy my children bring, for the shoes on my feet, plenty to eat. Well, thank you, Lord, for this church where I worship and pray, for the freedom I have today, for the spirit I feel that's present so real. Well, thank you, Lord, for being a friend so my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Well, thank you, Lord, amen, for giving your life for me on a cross at Calvary, for taking my place with mercy and grace. Well, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Well, thank you, Lord. I just want to my soul and making me whole. Well, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Book of John, chapter 4, starting in verse 19. We're going to read there a few scriptures. We thank you for staying this evening. Verse 19 of chapter 4 of John. The Bible says this, and this is just after the woman at the well had met up with Jesus there. The woman said to Jesus, said, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you can be seated this evening. And we thank you for standing up. And we thought about the songs that were sung as they begin to sing. And I'm glad to know that everything's not scheduled out on a schedule there for us to follow. But we're glad that God had each and every song sung the way He'd have it to be sung. Stand up for Jesus. And we like what Brother Howard said this evening. As he said, that we need to step up as God's children. And that's kind of where God's led me on this evening. In chapter 4 there, we read a little bit there just to give you a little background. As we said, the woman had come to the well there. She was a Samaritan woman. And she come, no doubt, as her regular duties, going to fetch some water. And she found Jesus there. And Jesus asked her for a drink. And she pretty much told Jesus, "You know, why would you ask me for a drink, just a Samaritan woman?" And Jesus told her there, he said, "If you knew who I was, you'd have asked me for a drink, because I'd have given you a drink of the living water where you never thirst again." I'm glad to know this evening, Brother Randy, that I got a drink of the living water years ago. I'm glad to know that God saved my soul and He put something on the inside of me. That Bible says it'll stir up on the inside of God's children. But I thought, as we read those scriptures there, thought about how the woman there said, God began to tell her. He said, the woman said to him, "Sir," he said, "but whosoever drinketh this water I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Amen. I'm glad to know that there's something on the inside, Brother Paul, that's everlasting this evening. I'm glad to know, even though we go through hardships and valleys, we got something that doesn't fade away. Amen. We got something that's real this evening, and we got something we can rejoice over this evening. Amen. That woman told him in verse 19, the woman said, after Jesus told her about all the husbands she had had and all those things, and she found out that Jesus knew everything about her there, if you want to say. And he said in verse 19, the woman saying to him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." In other words, she said, "I recognize that thou art a prophet." But Jesus had news for her. Jesus was more than just a prophet. He was the Son of God. He was God manifested in the flesh. He was God brought to this earth for you and I. He was the one who would give His life upon Calvary. And this woman began to say, she said there, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." Now, we won't get in all the details, but we know the Samaritans had a place that they offered up their sacrifices, and the Jews had a place, Brother James, that they offered up their sacrifices. But Jesus saith to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." Right. And I thought about the thought the Lord had given me was something was missing in this woman's life. There was something missing. Now we know that she didn't have the Lord in her life. We know that she didn't have that everlasting spring of living water inside of her. We already know that. But what God revealed to me is that this woman had something missing in her life that I still believe, Brother Jason, that there's a lot of people that are missing out on something in their life. And that's true worship in a Christian's life, in a person's life. Worshiping, true worship, is missing in a lot of people's lives today, Brother Randy. I learned years ago what it meant to have true worship with God. I was saved, and I thought I was worshiping God in spirit and truth, but I had to learn along the way that that wasn't true worship. I had to learn that I had to worship it in spirit and truth. The way I was worshiping Sister Becky was just a routine, was just something I was just brought up around, and I just did it because Mom and Dad did it. I did it because I seen others, but I wasn't truly worshiping in my heart. I was saved, but I wasn't truly worshiping Him. But I thought about the very fact that there's a lot of people today that's missing something in today's life, missing something in their life. The Bible says in 2 Timothy there, it says there in chapter 3, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And the Bible says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I want you to know something. There's a lot of unholy people today in this world, and it's just going to get worse, Brother Andy. And he said they're without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Amen. From such turn away. And I thought as I read those scriptures here this evening, I got there and God put that on my heart, that 2 Timothy, and I thought, Lord, how many times, church, have we heard that verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Amen. I want you to know something this evening. When you get saved by the grace of God, there is a power that moves inside of God's children. And if you've not felt the power, then something's missing in your life. A lot of people, a lot of churches denying the very power thereof in the worship when they come together. Jesus was telling this Samaritan woman the way when I was reading this, what God revealed to me there in the book of John. He told him, he said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And I thought about, there's some things that God kind of pointed out to me that we're going to hit a little bit on tonight, if it be God's will, about where our errors are in worship a little bit. You know, and I thought, who am I to stand up, Lord, and begin to point out our errors? Because I know that I was one, Brother Jason, that would err in my worshiping. And there's still times today, and don't get me wrong, there's still times today that I fall short and I don't give God the praise and glory and worship he deserves. But God said, do it. You point out, you do what I saw. God showed me to do. He showed me what they delivered tonight, so I need your prayers. But God said, you're going to do what I want you to do. And I know I can go home and feel just knowing that I just did what God wanted me to do. So, number one was a misunderstanding of worship. This woman had a misunderstanding there. She was worried about pointing. She didn't say this is where she worshiped. She said, this is where our fathers worshiped in this mountain. She said, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. I want you to know something, young people. I want you to know something, church. This evening, doesn't matter who you are, worship does not depend upon the location you're at. God can be anywhere and you can have worship of the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe you ought to be. There's no greater church, I believe, than our home church this evening. But I want you to know something. God's going to be in the midst of it. It's not the four walls. It's not the name that's been out in the sun for all these years, Mount Zion Baptist Church. But I want you to know something. There's not been worship in this church if it wouldn't been for God.
Amen.
If it wouldn't been for Jesus, there'd be no worship in spirit. There'd be no worship in truth. There's a lot of misunderstandings that it's the four walls of this church house and that's the only place we can worship. But I got news for you. That's not right. That's wrong. There's a lot of places tonight on a Wednesday night that are having worship, that are worshiping God in spirit and truth. And Jesus was telling her, oh, stop pointing here and there. He said, but I've got the living water. Jesus was telling her, I'm more than just a prophet. I know all things because I was there from the very beginning. I am the Son of God.
Amen.
He told her, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He told her. So I thought there was a misunderstanding of worship. The Bible says in book of Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'll tell you what worship to me is. is a place I can get separated from the things of this world. When you truly, and Brother Jason, you know what I'm talking about. And I know there's folks in this church house tonight that's truly worship God. And I'm not trying to point anybody out. And I'm glad I don't have to, because God will point you out. But I want you to know something this evening. When you get to where you worship God in spirit and truth, all the things outside the church doors don't mean a hill of beans.
Yeah, man. That's exactly right.
I get sick sometimes. I like football. I like to watch football sometimes. But I'll tell you this. There's a lot of people, when football starts up and there's a good game, Brother Randy, and they go over to overtime, they get all excited and they get worked up. But you let church go to overtime a little bit, and people get upset and they get all frustrated and they start tapping their fingers and they start looking at their watches. I tell you, we ought to be excited when God moves. It's more than just the four walls that we're under. It's more than just the roof we're under. It's a spiritual thing.
Yes, sir.
God showed me yesterday, sitting at the house. My wife and I was talking, and God began to stir inside of me. And I told her, I said, I just got to read a little bit. I just got to read a little bit. I started reflecting on all the times that I've had worship with the Lord. I'm telling you, it wasn't just here. It's been many places. It's been in many church houses. We had camp meeting here, and we had worship. We had Sunday morning services, and we had worship. Yeah. I'll tell you, I've been in my vehicle and had worship.
Yeah, man.
I've been in my garage and had worship.
Yeah, man.
I'll tell you something. God is much bigger than this building.
Yes,
God is much bigger than any building, than any church house.
Right.
He lives inside of us. But I want you to know, there's a lot of people misunderstanding worship. He told them there in Romans, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy.
Yeah.
I thought when I walked in this evening, Lord, I wish the church house was full.
Yeah.
I'm not here to pass judgment, but I'll tell you this. As a man called to preach, and this preacher will testify to it, and that preacher over there will testify to it, God shows things to his people. It's his preachers.
Yeah.
And I thought, Lord, how I wish the church house was full. And they could hear the message. If I could just be halfway decent and just do a half a good enough job of what you showed me. Lord, I believe there's just some that might just be willing to step out on a little bit of faith. If they said they had enough faith to get saved, then they ought to have enough faith to say, Lord, I believe you want me to grow. I believe you want me to worship you. And I want to be in that place.
Yes.
I'd sit in a church house, Brother James, and I'd watch some preachers get up, and I'd watch them preach, and I'd wonder, why can't I preach that way? I'd wonder, why can't I just get a hold of what they got a hold of? And you know what God showed me one night at a revival? He said, because you're not letting me preach.
Amen.
A lot of people want to worship. Worship's not, it's not just a building. It's not just a song because you like the song, because you think it's it's a good song because I like to play it on my radio and crank it up. I've had people, Brother Jason, ask me to learn songs, but I got news for you. If God don't move when I sing it, I can't sing it.
Amen.
He will say, what do you mean, preacher? I say, because there's got to be the Spirit in it.
That's right.
I'm not saying the song's not a good song, but I'm saying it's just not what God put on me.
Right.
Worship is about following the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
It's not just the songs we sing. It's not how good you can sound. He told them there, present your bodies a living sacrifice and holy. There's a lot of people that come out to the church house on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, whenever it may be. They'll come out and they'll fill the pews and they'll find them a seat. And the preacher said it, and I've not been here as long as he has. But since he's been pastoring, but I'll tell you, I've seen the same thing. There's a lot of people that's just not stepping up and growing. But I'll tell you something, when you get saved, you can't help but have a desire, Brother Christian, to get a little bit closer to God.
Amen.
It'll eat away at you. It'll eat away at you. There's a desire. The Bible said, he told them there, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We need to be able to separate ourselves. When I've had worship with the Lord, it's because I separated myself, Brother Randy, from the things of this world, the things that would get me down, the things that would just overcome this old flesh. I could get away from all those things. It didn't matter what time it was. Didn't matter what day it was. Didn't matter if I had to work the next morning or not. It didn't matter if I had had dinner yet or not, because God was moving.
Amen.
That's worship. That's true worship. I think there's a big misunderstanding today in today's church of what worship is. It's not just gathering together. It's not just a social gathering that we have one with another. It's not just a heritage place where our ancestors have gathered, just as this woman said, and said that's where they gathered in this mountain. Well, my ancestors, my heritage come to this church, Brother Randy, but just because they come to this church didn't mean that that's where I had to worship. I grew in other places and come back here, but I got news for you. It's not just because that's where your family went to and that's why you worship there. No, you worship there because you're getting fed by the Holy Ghost. Because you can feel it.
Right.
Bible says in another place, I believe it is in Peter, he says, stir up your pure minds in a way of remembrance.
Right.
I began to sit there last night a little bit and think and meditate. And God began to stir me on the way, in the way of remembrance.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Jason, I began to stir my mind, my pure little mind, about worshiping Him in spirit and truth.
Amen.
There's a place God wants each and every one of us to be. And if we refuse to be there, then we can't worship Him in spirit.
Right.
We can gather together. We can sit in the pew. But you can't worship Him. Another fact that I thought of, the Lord put in my heart, was knowing what you're worshiping.
Right.
You can't worship if you don't know who you're worshiping.
Right.
What you're worshiping. The woman at the well, Jesus told her there in verse 22, he said, you worship ye know not what. He said, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He told that woman, said, you don't even know what you're worshiping. There's a lot of people coming out to the church house. Preacher done said it this evening. There's some people that come in the church house that are hiding from things. There's sinners coming to this church house, church, that's trying to hide from things. They're trying to put a little plaque up on their door or put a little something in their pocket, maybe put one of them tracts in their pocket and say, I went to church today and everything's okay because I went to that one church down the corner there, Mount Zion Baptist Church, where that preacher gets real loud and he spits a little bit. Them singers get up and they cry a little bit and there's some shouting sometimes. I'm okay because I went to church over there in the corner. And they put that in their pocket, whatever they do, and they take that little bit of self-assurance they've got, and they get around God's people. And I want you to know something, lost person. If you're here this evening, I believe there are lost people here this evening. I'll tell you something. You can take all you want, and you can build up those walls around you and surround you by God's people, and you can take it home and think everything's okay because you surround yourself with people of God. But you know as well as I do that God knows your condition.
Right.
He said, you know not. You know not what? You worship. There's a lot of people coming out to a lot of people in church houses this evening, and I've seen people get up and say, I thought I got saved years ago, and I realized, and they'd stand in the church choir, and I was one of those people, Brother Jason, and I thought everything was okay, but I was still in a lost condition, and they thought everything was okay, but they knew not what they worshiped.
Right.
They were just going through the motions. They knew what they needed to do, but God hadn't called, whatever the situation may have been, but they weren't saved. You got to know what you're worshiping. How many today are coming out and they don't even know what they're worshiping? Some people come out and they think they're worshiping. And I believe this, and I love our pastor. I believe Jason's one of the best pastors there are. But there's a lot of people in church that think they're coming to church house to worship the pastor. There's a lot of people coming to church house, they think they got to worship the deacon. There's a lot of people come out to the church house, they think they got to come up and worship the singers and the musicians and the congregation. But that's not where our worship lies.
Right.
It wouldn't do me no good, Brother Jason, to get down on my hands and knees each night and pray to Jason Faulkner and ask him to see me through my hardships. And ask him to stir up the spirit that's inside of me. Brother Paul, it wouldn't do me no good to do those things. It wouldn't do me no good, young people, that come to brother, that go to prayer each night and pray to James Pound Jr. and ask him to take care of my troubles and my needs. But it pays to pay to pray to Jesus.
Yeah, man. That's exactly right.
A lot of people's got it wrong. They think their word. Bible says there in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than that creator?
Yeah.
Folks knew about God but worshiped him not. There's too many people nowadays coming up to the church house, Brother Paul, that are trying to worship the creation.
Yes, they are. Yep.
And not the creator.
That's exactly right.
Too busy worshiping the creature, the things, the building, the church building, the pastor, those things. But that's not going to do them any good.
Amen.
You can surround yourself with all the people you want to that's been saved by the grace of God. But if you leave this world in a lost condition because you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll die and go to a devil's hell.
Amen.
You can't candy coat it. You can't sugarcoat it. You're either saved or you're lost.
Right.
You either accept Christ in your life and you turn your life over to him, or you become that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. You can't live in sin one day. You can't live in sin Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, whatever it may be, and on Sunday come out to the church house and put on your finest church clothes and come up to the preacher and shake his hand and pat him on the back and say, good message, preacher. Or come up and say, Brother Jeff or Brother James, can y'all get up and sing a song? And I just love that song. That song's just one of my favorite songs. Well, I got news for you. If you die and go to the devil's hell, you'd have wished you never heard it. Because it'll be a constant reminder of what you turned away because you put your satisfaction and you put your trust in the creation itself and in other things instead of putting your faith in the Creator.
Amen.
Those things. He said, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped to serve the creature more than the creator? When we come together, we don't worship the creation or the creature, but we worship the creator. We worship the Almighty God. I believe this evening we had some worshiping going on, Brother Jason.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I've been in many churches, and there's times that the Spirit's just moving and bubbling over. And there's folks in every church house, and I'm just going to bear witness to this. There's been folks in every church house I've been in, and I've been one of them from time to time, that have sat there in those pews, and the Spirit was moving, and God was stirring, and they'd sit there all arms cross looking at their watch and thinking they got better things to do. I'll tell you, I've been there and it ain't no fun in it. But I'll tell you this, if you want to grow, you got to worship him in spirit.
Right. Exactly right.
And the only way to do that is to bring and make yourself holy. Live the way God wants you to live. Be obedient unto him. Paul told him there in Acts chapter 17 there. God, Paul was verse 16 there. Pray for me. Chapter 17. We're going to read a little bit down in verse 22. But in verse 16, I want you to hear what's going on. Paul, Bible says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Paul was stirred up. He seen the way the folks were worshiping the idols and those things, Brother Randy, and he got stirred up about what he seen. And in verse 22, it says that Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Sounds a lot like today. People may say, "Well, I don't have an idol at home, preacher. I don't have nothing sitting on my shelf that I'm worshiping." But I want you to know this: if you're putting your trust in this church building, if you're putting your trust in the name that's above the church door, if you're putting your name upon, you're putting your trust upon some man in this church building, then you're putting other things before God. And it said there, "I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" I believe, Brother Jason, if we could walk down these aisles on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Wednesday night, whatever it may be, if you could walk down these aisles and God would give us the spiritual eyes to look at people, if God would place that same altar upon them, I believe we'd walk by those people in this church house where it would say right in front of them, "I serve the unknown God." Mm-hmm. They don't know what they serve.
Right.
They don't know the power thereof. Just like that song we sung, "I'm more than a conqueror."
Yeah.
The world tells us that we've got our hope in something that's dead. Bless Brother Logan's heart that he got up and sang that God's not dead. He's surely alive.
Okay.
Oh, my kids sing that song. I like the part where it says, "He's roaring like a lion."
Yeah.
Sometimes we put him in a corner like he's some kind of mouse and he needs to be quiet. But I got news for you. Our Lord is roaring and alive this evening. God began to stir. This woman knew something was missing. And God was telling her. But Paul told him there, over there in Mars Hill, he said, "I send the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Kind of what we hit on already this evening, huh? He said, "He don't dwell in the temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath in all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us."
Right.
He's not far from. How many times, church, have we witnessed? How many times, church, have we seen folks walk away in a lost condition? You don't even have to see with your own eyes. You may say to yourself, "Preacher, how can they see me?" It may be you this evening. You may say, "How can they see me? Everybody's got their eyes up front of the preacher. I've snuck down the back. I've snuck downstairs. How can anybody see me?" I'll tell you this. You know it because the Spirit bears witness of it. Something's happening. And when something continues to happen, and the church begins to stir, and the messages go out to those that are lost, and no one makes a move, then you know someone's refusing to accept Jesus as their Savior. A lot of people sit in this church house, church, and God's right there bidding them to come, and they refuse. And they continue to serve an unknown God. Why? Just because they're just like the young ruler there that said he'd done all the things that Jesus told me that he needed to do. He said, "What do I need to be saved? What do I need to..." And he said, "You need to sell all that you got." He said, he told him all the commandments. He said, "I've done all those things from my youth up. But what must I do? What must I do to get into the kingdom?" And that's not word for word, but you know where I'm coming from. You know the scripture. So he said, "What can I do?" And Jesus told him, "Sell all the goods that you have. Go and sell them all." And the Bible says that he left sorrowful because he had many possessions. There's a lot of people tonight that's got many possessions, and they want to be closer to God. They want to grow closer to God, and they want to worship God. They want to worship God. And if they're lost, you can't worship God unless you've been saved. And there's folks that are saved that want to worship God, and they can't worship God if they refuse to grow and let go of the things that hinder them.
Right.
But he told them there, he declared unto them the unknown God. And the unknown God is Jesus. It's God himself. It's the one that made all things. He said, Him I declare him unto you. There's been many times, Brother James, we've sat in church services and we've seen God been revealed right here in the midst of the church service. We were down at the youth retreat, and God just began to manifest himself there in Tennessee in a little bitty theater downstairs. And people say, how can you have church in a little bitty theater? I walked downstairs and I looked down there and I thought, Lord, this is going to be a little bit different. The seats reclined a little bit. I think they had little cup holders. But you know what? We worship in spirit and truth. And because of that, God manifested himself right there in the midst of a little theater downstairs in the cabin.
Yes, he did.
There's been times, as we said, that God's manifested himself right in the front seat of the vehicle with me on the way to work and the way home from work, driving to church. Even this evening on the way home from work, boy, just began to, I guess I was preaching a little bit in the car before I even got home.
Amen.
Just having prayer with the Lord and turning into preaching. I thought, Lord, that's okay.
Amen.
That's worshiping God. And it's not just for the preacher's church, but it's for each and every one of us.
Right.
I'll tell you, church is a lot sweeter if you learn how to worship God.
Yes, sir.
They were serving the unknown God. Didn't know even what they were worshiping. I'm trying to hurry through this, but I'm going to hit everything the Lord's given me. The next thing you got to do is you got to know your place. In the church of God. You got to know your place. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Are you saying that we got to know whether we've been called to preach? Or are you saying that we got to know whether we've been called to be a, maybe we ought to be a Sunday school teacher or be a singer? No, I'm saying you got to know your place in the church house. In the book of Luke, chapter 18 there, talks about the Pharisee. Chapter 18, verse 11, it says that the Pharisee, Jesus spoke and said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But the Bible says that he began to smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You want to know something this evening? If you, I'm not saying you need to know your place. You need to know your place with God. There's no big I's and little U's in the house of God. We are all on level ground. There's no seniority, Pastor. Just because you've been here longer than I have, Brother Paul, just because you've been here longer than I have, doesn't mean that God wants to use you any more than he wants to use me. Doesn't mean he loves you any more than he loves me. Doesn't mean that he's got more work for you at Mount Zion than he does me. But I've got news for you. It's those that will humble themselves in the house of God that he said he will exalt. That prideful Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. How many times? I'll tell you this evening, and God showed it to me, and I'm just going to share what God stirred me on yesterday. There's people that'll sit in church houses, and they'll make excuses for themselves. And one of the biggest things for a Christian, one of the worst things you can do, is to let pride to step in and allow you to get puffed up with pride and say, well, I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I want service to run this way or that way. But I got news for you. Worship only comes the way God wants it to come.
Amen.
It's not man that's in charge.
Right.
It's not the preacher that's in charge. It's not Brother Jeff decided he's going to hold us late. No, God's decided these things. God's the one that's in charge of service. It's not me.
Right.
It's not Brother Jason.
Right.
It's not Brother James. It's not the deacons. It's not the singers. It's God.
Right.
This Pharisee stood off and he puffed himself up. and began to compare himself to the publican there. He said, I'm glad I'm not as this person that'd be down there. No doubt he's seen this publican. He's seen him down on his knees crying out to God. But I tell you, he wouldn't even look up to him. But he said, he smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's still times in my life today that I find myself. I even told my wife tonight, or maybe it was last night, I said, I just feel so unworthy. Sometimes I just feel so unworthy. But you know what? That's what God wants. God wants us to feel as if we need Him, because we can't do it on our own. A preacher can't preach if God's not in the midst of it. If I got up here all prideful and puffed up, you wouldn't get nothing of it. You'd go home, probably be upset, and all those things. I'd go home, wouldn't be able to sleep at night. I'd live off my own pride, live off those things. Brother Randy, there'd be no good come of it. We got to know our place in worship. We got to know our spot in the church house. We have to be willing when we come together to humble ourselves down. That's why when we have the foot washings and those things, some people say, I don't understand why churches have foot washings. Well, take part in one. Truly take part in one and humble yourself down and get down and wash your brother or your sister's feet. And I'll tell you this, it's a humbling experience. In the house of God, there's no big I's or little U's. There's no seniority list. There's none of those things. It's not like at the workplace. Right. Man's gotten to a part, to a way of life that they're used to seniority lists. They're used to those things. They're used to pecking orders. Just as the preacher said, there was two funerals that took place today. A young child and an older lady. God's not a respecter of ages. Right. He's not a respecter of persons. You want me to put it to you a simple way? Probably the simplest way I know to put it. The Bible says that we're His children. We're all His children. That's where we stand.
Right.
We're His children.
Right.
His children, my children, when I speak to them, they better obey. If they don't obey, Brother Jason, they know there's consequences for not obeying. You ask my children, sometimes I stand here and I tell them, I'll turn around and look at them and tell them to stop doing something, and they know Dad's out of reach a little bit, and they know when they get home there's going to be consequences for what they've done. There's consequences for God's children not being obedient unto Him. I've been in many services, been in many churches where they didn't follow the Spirit of God, and I'll tell you something, I don't like it. I don't like being somewhere where you don't worship in spirit. When you get a hold of worshiping in spirit and truth, there's something good about it. There's something that makes you want more, Brother Randy. I thought about Sunday night, the way God just moved Sunday night, and I thought, Lord, oh, I love to worship You in spirit and truth. I come here and been down, been discouraged, a lot of sickness is going through our homes, and you get weak when you can't come out to the house of God. Even us preachers get weak. But I want you to know that God, when He begins to stir in your heart, and it begins to stir in your life, everything gets so much better. But you got to be willing. You got to be ready. And you got to know where you stand. None of us here this evening are above God. None of us, Brother James, are above God. Brother James sung that song, Stand Up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. There's no other reason to stand if you're standing up because of your own pride, then you ought to just sit yourself down. The other thing is, we must know how to worship. We've already hit on that a little bit tonight. We've already cut a lot of that out a little bit. We've already hit some of that this evening. The Bible says there in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 23, it is. He told them there, as we've already said many times, He said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And I'll tell you this, the Bible says the true worshipers, that means there's false worshipers. I believe it was Sunday night, might have been the Sunday night before, I'm not sure when, but one of the preachers stood up here and talked about the tares being sown in the midst of the church house. There's still tares that have been sown.
Right.
It's not our job to pull them up, as the scripture says, but God sees each and every one. He'll pull them up
right
in due time. But there are false worshipers. But then there are true worshipers. And I'll tell you this, true worshipers know when we're worshiping in truth.
Right.
When we're worshiping in spirit. There's something different about it. There's a closeness you have. And Brother Jason, I wish I could stand up here, and I guess in a way, God's kind of got me pleading. I believe, just as Brother Howard said this evening, there's not more important time than to stand up for Jesus than now.
Amen.
Then get up and do what God wants us to do. We look at the world, we look at the way the country's going. We look, Brother Jason already said, the nation we live in is not a nation founded on the beliefs of God any longer. But God's church is still founded on the Word of God.
Right.
It's still founded on the one that's victorious over all the battles. Brother Howard sung the song, I'm going to die on the battlefield. How many of you tonight know that you're going to die on the battlefield?
Right.
I know I'm going to die on the battlefield, Brother Randy. I know that things aren't going to get any easier for us, church. And I know things are going to get tougher on us. But that don't mean it's time to sit back and take comfort and take a rest, or just throw up our hands and say it's time to give up. But I want you to know something. Now's the time to worship Him in spirit and truth.
Amen.
So when those folks come around that are lost on Sunday mornings, maybe they don't come back on Sunday night, I don't know. But you know what? We ought to be in a position when we come together. And I believe we felt some of that tonight. I really do. And I'm not saying we've not felt that in this church house. But I know there's been many occasions that I've witnessed it because God's shown up, because I've sat back and looked and said, let's see who's worshiping and who's not. It's because God's bared witness. I don't even have to look at anyone. But I can sit here and know. And the pastor knows it. And other preachers know it. And other church members know it. That people are refusing to worship God the way He wants to be worshiped. The Bible said there in verse 23, Jesus told her, He said, first to the Father, He said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him.
Right.
That's what God wants. He wants those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants preachers that will worship Him, Sister Judy, in spirit and truth. He don't want me to be in a place. God showed me yesterday, Brother James. I texted Brother Jason. I said, God has been revealing things. He's been revelating me on things. And God showed me things in my life. And He'll show you things in your life. Don't think it's that the preacher's not in the midst of it. Each and every one of us have to grow and we have to learn. And if you ask God to show you what He wants you to do, God will do just that. But you got to ask, and the Bible says when you ask, have faith believing. If you want to worship God in spirit and truth, ask Him to help you worship in spirit and truth.
Right.
Maybe you need that fire kindled a little bit.
Yep.
I'm not saying you're lost. That's between you and God, but I want you to know something. There's been times I've sat in pews, I've sat in this church house, and I've testified of it before, that I sat there unwilling to worship Him the way He wanted me to worship. How many times, how many of us sit here in this church house and we want the fire to be kindled a little bit, but we refuse to throw the wood on it? How many of us want to see lost folks saved? Or how many of us are too worried about other things going on outside the church house? And I had other stuff, but I'm going to hit one thing and then have the pastor, I'm going to come to a close. We got to know how to worship. We got to worship Him in spirit and truth. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus told him there as he was going up to pray, He asked the disciples to watch and pray for him. Watch there. And the Bible says that they fell asleep when He come down and fell asleep. And He said there, Jesus told him in chapter 26, verse 41, said Jesus asked the disciples to watch and pray. Jesus knew the spiritually, but he said that the spirit will control. Let me get this right. I write this down. Said the flesh is contrary to the spirit. The Bible says in Matthew 26. I'm just going to turn there. If I get this right, I don't want to mess it up. But I want you to know something. Jesus knew our weaknesses. I thought I had the scriptures wrote down, but I don't. That's okay. 26:41, it says, watch and pray, and ye enter into not to, that ye enter not into temptation. And Jesus told him there, said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is so willing, Brother Jason, I believe. And it wants to worship God. And it wants to grow in the spirit.
Right.
But the flesh is weak.
Right.
The flesh gets in the way. James chapter 1, verse 22. We're going to come to a close. James wrote to him, it says there in the Bible, it says, but be ye doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We got to be more than just hearers.
Right.
We got to be doers.
A
lot of us say, well, I'm a doer, preacher. I'm a doer. But we read those scriptures on worshiping Him in spirit and worshiping Him in truth. And I'll ask you this evening, have you been doing those things? Have you been doing those things? Have you been living the way God wants you to live your life? Or have you decided that, well, I'll live my way on the way God wants me to live on Sunday, but come the rest of the week, I'm going to live my own way. Or maybe you've allowed yourself to get prideful and puff yourself up and get yourself to a point where you think you know all that God wants you to do. And you think, just as Brother Donald preached on, I believe it was Sunday night, about that iceberg that had kind of leveled off. You know, that's what happens when you get that way. You kind of level off. You stop growing a little bit. And I'll tell you something, church. That happens to each and every one of us from time to time. We get a little bit of leveling off. But I'm glad that God comes around, Brother Jason, and He sees us in a condition. And you know what God will do? I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll knock you down a little bit. It'll make you look up and realize that you're nothing without Him. I've been there. No doubt many here this evening have been there. Or are you just following the same old routine that you've always followed? Just because that's the way it's just always been. I didn't realize sometimes... And I think sometimes church houses today don't realize how much of a routine we get in sometimes. All of us are bad at it. All of us are guilty of it. We get up, how many times we sit down, we have dinner, and someone will lead in prayer, and it'll be the same old prayer you always have. Just a routine. Same old, same old. How many times you come to the altar during prayer requests, and you sit down and you have the same prayer you always had. Just a routine. How many times you get asked to sing the same song or you go, well, I think it's time I need to get up and sing. The preacher needs to see me sing, needs to see me doing something for I don't get preached on. So you get up and you sing and you just follow the same old routine. I've been to churches, Brother Jason. I know you've been in churches, and Brother Reed, I know there's many people here, even here this evening, sitting wherever it may be, that's been through services where you didn't have sometimes. I've been there where I got up and there wasn't no singing. We just went straight into preaching.
Yep.
It was time to take prayer requests and it was preaching time. And I thought to myself, Lord, this isn't the way things are supposed to go. And God said, now's the time. Them are some of the best services. Why? Because God, I believe God likes to get in and He likes to stir things up a little bit. He likes to break us out of our routines. Yeah, tonight may have been a broken routine for some. I don't know, Brother Jason. Tonight might have been a broken routine for somebody. They might be saying, it's quarter till nine. They might be saying, this preacher needs to hurry up. What's wrong with him? He sits there and he don't say much. And now he's up there and you can't get him to shut up. That's called worshiping God. That's called following the Spirit. That's called going in a little bit of overtime for Him. Hey, there's a lot of football teams, Brother James, that go into overtime and they still lose. I'm glad to know we can go into overtime and still be victorious.
Amen.
There's a lot of ways we can fall short, and there's a lot of ways that we have to learn to grow. How do you worship the Lord? Where's your worship of the Lord this evening? Where do you stand with God? Are you in a lost condition? Do you not even know what you're supposed to be worshiping? You can't worship if you've not been saved. Number one. It's not got anything to do with the place. It had nothing to do with this building. It It's all about Him. It's not about the preacher. It's all about Him. It's not when I say come. It's when He says come. It's not when I say sing. It's when He says sing. It's not when Brother Jason says someone testify. It's when God tells you to testify. Are you following the Spirit, Brother Jason?